Please stand in body and in spirit.
Do you all know it's still Easter? Do you know what that means? Hallelujah! Christ is risen!
Christ is risen indeed! Hallelujah!
We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another, keeping a moment of silence for reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us. And so we delight in your will and the walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together in Christ. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray. Beautiful God, you gather your people into your realm, and you promise us food from your tree of life. Nourish us with your word, that empowered by your spirit, we may love one another and the world you have made, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from Acts, the 16th chapter. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. The word of the Lord. Please read Psalm 67 responsively with me, and again with enthusiasm. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us.
That your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth has yielded its fruits. God, our God, has blessed us.
May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him. The second reading is from Revelation, chapter 21 and 22. And in the spirit, he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven and from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered Judas, not Iscariot. Scripture wants us to be very clear, not Iscariot. Jesus answered Judas, not Iscariot. Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you all that I have said to you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise.
You may be seated. I need that. Thanks. I need a break. I'm back. When God closes a door, who said it? Where did you hear that? Facebook 316. When God closes a door, God opens a window, right? We hear that, right? I'm keeping that open. That feels good. It's like 90 degrees up here. When God closes a door, God opens a window. Facebook 316. It comes on like one of these little square things. They put a little pretty picture behind it, like an open window with some curtains blowing. Anyway, so when a door closes, before trying to climb out that window, does it look like I could fit through that window? No. Before trying to do that, maybe, just maybe, it's a thought. Try opening the door first. It's a door. That's how doors work. Doors open and they close, right? Now, if you try the door and the door is locked, don't climb out the window, We'll get there, okay? What I think this Facebook 3:16 passage speaks to, you know, a whole door closing, a window opening thing, it's a well-worn cliche, not scripture, that is a longing of us Christians, right? We Christians are longing to feel like when the door is slammed in our face, that we are still called to something, right? When we've hit that dead end, when that job isn't quite what we thought it would be, when we aren't able to make the difference that we had hoped for, when that job, maybe that job went away, maybe we were laid off, maybe that place where we worked closed. I don't know. It probably doesn't apply to many of you in here. Maybe you retired. With this crowd, most of you probably haven't done that yet, right? Maybe you've retired. Maybe you're retired and you still feel called to something. You feel called to a place, called to make a difference in this place or that place. You dedicate time and energy and effort, and the outcome you're hoping for doesn't come to pass. And you're confused. You're conflicted. You don't know what it is that you're supposed to do in this time and place in your life. Are we doing the right thing with our missions? Are we doing the right thing with our ministries? What is God calling us to in the first place? Is God calling us to something more? Anything more? Anything at all? Something? Look, I am not going to say that God can't close doors. God most certainly can close doors. If we believe that God is active and moving in this world, then we must certainly believe that God can close doors. You believe that God is active and moving in this world, don't you? Right? Yes? Okay. So God can certainly close doors. God can certainly work to guide us and move us from this door to that door or down a certain path, a preferred path, maybe a preferred door, for the goodness of not us, but for the goodness of God's creation and for God's preferred future. And hopefully it's for the good of us. But God is worried about the goodness of all of creation. And if that means slamming a door in our face, it might not feel all that good. But I can tell you it's happened before. Were we listening to what happened to Paul and Timothy in Philippi? Maybe not, because the reading cut off what happened before they got to Philippi. So I'll tell you, Philippi was not their plan. Macedonia was not their plan. It is not where they wanted to go. They wanted to go speak a word in Asia. But for some reason, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Can anyone tell me why? We don't know why. It doesn't say. We don't know why. Okay, fine, God. We're Paul, we're Timothy, we want to go preach the word somewhere. So they try Bithynia, I don't know where that is. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go to Bithynia. Why? We don't know. So there's one door slammed, there's a second door slammed. Okay, God, fine. Now what? Now what exactly would you want us to do? Have you ever found yourself here? Anyone? I can't be the only person who's ever found themselves with one door, two door, three, eight doors slammed in their faces, wondering, now what? Yelling at God, perhaps. Okay, God, if you're so smart, then tell me what to do. Right? So, If you've ever found yourself there, maybe a little angry at God, maybe a little bitter at God, that all those doors have been closed in your face, I think this is a good thing. Because it acknowledges that perhaps God might slam doors in our face if need be, but in doing so, it names a trust, a faith, and a belief that God will reveal to us a way forward out of whatever confusion, whatever desolation, whatever doorless room, even though there never is a doorless room, that we think that we have found ourselves trapped in order that we may fulfill God's will for a world that so desperately needs God's will to be fulfilled. God is active and moving out there, and God invites us into that work. So during the night, Paul has this vision, and there's this man standing in Macedonia. This man is pleading, come over to Macedonia and help us. And I know what you're thinking. If you're in this room and you're confused and you're like, all right, God, where? You don't expect this vision to appear. Raise your hand if you've had a vision from God in the past year. What? Oh. No? None. Okay. So, you're like, okay, well, I guess I'm not going to be able to count on God to give me this vision. And I understand you thinking this, right? But I would challenge you and me and all of us, how long has it been since you have heard the words, come and help us. Right? Come and help us. Because those are the words that were heard in the vision. Come to Macedonia and help us. But maybe we don't hear the words Macedonia. Come, dot, 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 to, dot, 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 and help us. How long has it been since you've heard those words? My guess is not long, because we live in a world that needs a lot of help. And I would say that we cannot live in this world and call ourselves Christians and claim to not hear the world words, come and help us. So I ask, where are you? Where are we being called to help? Most likely it is not Macedonia. It might be, I don't know, but probably not. God is calling us somewhere, I can assure you of that. So Paul and Timothy, they did not stay in that room. They didn't try to go over to the door. They did not try to jiggle the lock. They did, if I was a good pastor, I'd have a pry bar and I'd try to pry it open today and then get fired. They did not try to pry the door open and go through the door that the Holy Spirit had closed. They did not try to continue on to Asia, thinking that, oh, this is definitely the call for me. They didn't do that for now, right? That's the key. It doesn't say there that the Holy Spirit perpetually, forever and ever, blocks the word from going to Asia or Bithynia. The Holy Spirit said, maybe later. They said, okay. And they moved on. And then they tried Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus, whatever that means, said no. And they continue, and they hear an invitation, come and help us. And they go to the leading city in Macedonia. We know it as Philippi. They go to a river on the Sabbath where many are gathered. There is a woman who is gathered there with her household. Her name is Lydia. How could this come up in Scripture and me not preach about Lydia, right? She's like, please stop. And though Lydia is familiar with God, though she is a devout worshiper of the God of Israel, she's not Jewish. She is a Gentile. She hasn't heard the story of God proclaimed. She has not yet heard about Jesus. But as Paul and Timothy tell the story to her, the Lord opens her heart. The Spirit pours into her heart. The Spirit brings her then to faith in Jesus Christ. And she and her entire household are then baptized. We don't know why this door was closed to Asia. We don't know why the door to Bithynia was closed. But when it happened, there was a door that was open. Was it just then opened? Was it always opened to Philippi? We don't know. It wasn't a window. God was not like, hey, climb through this window and go get to Lydia. No, God busted the door open and said, go find this woman, Lydia. She's down in Philippi. Come, we need your help. Don't look for the window. That's just an escape. That's how we escape the call. I'm not saying, standing here today and saying that it's always easy to perceive where God is calling us. Sometimes that call might be to stay put, to continue doing exactly what it is you're doing. Sometimes it's not door one or two or three or ten. Other times though, God has blown a hole in the wall the size of the Kool-Aid man, and then has... supposed to get laughs. You remember the Kool-Aid man, right? You guys are like, I don't even know what Kool-Aid is. I drink pop. And there are neon lights and arrows flashing, pointing, this way, stupid, this is the way I'm calling you to go. And still we try to climb out the window and we get stuck. And if you're asking, how will I know if I'm answering God's call? And not my own call, and not someone else's call. I don't know. Might I first say, if you are asking this question, that is a great question to be asking. That is the right question to be asking. I would look at my young folks here. There's some young folks over there too. Liz, oh, never mind. Ooh, Liz got the call out. My young folks here, if you're asking the question, where am I being called to? And you're like, I don't know, I'm only in high school. I'm glad you're asking the question. We're going to give you the benefit of the doubt that you are asking the question. Jesus' parting word to the disciples in this farewell discourse that we heard today, part of the farewell discourse, he says, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and will remind you of what I said. And then Jesus says this, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid. The Father has given us the Holy Spirit. We are not alone. You are not alone. Do not, therefore, be afraid. We have an advocate, you see. It is the Holy Spirit of God. This Holy Spirit teaches and reminds. This Holy Spirit says, hey, that door is locked. Yep, that one there is locked too. See that window? Don't try to climb out the window. I have pried you out of that window so many times. You know that's not the way. It's just an escape hatch. You see? Do you see that giant hole in the wall, though, back there? It says this way. It has signs pointing to it. That giant hole in the wall. The Kool-Aid man-sized hole in the wall. I made that for you. And I will walk there with you. And once you get there, I will walk through that hole in the wall with you. And I will continue on the other side and walk with you the rest of the way. The Holy Spirit, as I said, has pried me out of that window so many times. I did not want to be here today standing in front of you preaching. And the Holy Spirit said, guess what? That's not your call. The Holy Spirit said, you see that hole in the wall back there? You see the flashing lights saying, this way, stupid, that is your call. And on the other side of that wall, there is a world full of Lydia's longing to hear and feel and know the good news of Jesus Christ. And when I walked, finally I walked through that wall, I cannot overstate this to you. When I walked through that wall, I felt a peace that this world cannot give. I felt it, I feel it, I know the peace of Christ. You see, the good news is peace. Peace is being given to us. It's being handed to us. It is the otherworldly peace of Christ. You don't have to become a pastor to know this peace. Actually, if you become one, you probably won't know it if you weren't supposed to be one. This is a peace that Jesus Christ has given to all of us. Not doors, not windows instead of doors, not a clear path, not a set of directions. Jesus Christ and the Father, you remember when Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit out? The Father and Jesus Christ breathed that Holy Spirit. They have given us this Holy Spirit. They've given it to us so that we might be faithful to the call. They've given it to us so that we may know Jesus Christ. They have given it to us so that we may know the peace of Christ. And you know why else we have been given this? When Lydia and her household were baptized, she urges, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And Lydia prevailed on us, right? So, in following our call, we might just bring someone else to come to know Jesus Christ, and they may be able to follow into their call. Lydia was brought to faith in Jesus Christ, and she brought her whole household with her. What tremendous good news it is to know that when we follow our call, we may just bring the rest of the world to know Jesus Christ with us. For that, I say, thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
O God of resurrection and new life, we come before you in prayer for the church, for the world, for all who are in need.
Unite your people with communities of faith, both locally and throughout the world. Further cooperation with our partner in ministry, St. Paul and North Robinson, and strengthen our ties with other Galleon and Crawford County area churches, especially Trinity Lutheran and First Presbyterian, that we may grow in deeper relationship with our siblings in Christ. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Sustain all who are in need, especially individuals and families struggling with trauma or addiction. Support caregivers, especially nurses, doctors, counselors, social workers. Come alongside all who are ill or struggling. Especially this day, we lift to you Brad, Joyce, Betty, Chuck, Fred, Judy, Jean, David, Nancy, Krista, Dave, AJ, Caden and his family, Linda, Haley, Sandy, Scott, Ed, Tina, Bobby, Jim. We lift to you Sherry. We lift all the victims of the tornadoes across the South, those who have lost homes and livelihoods, and especially those whose families, those who have lost loved ones. We also lift to you those who we lift either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. This Memorial Day weekend, we remember all who have died in military service. Soothe loved ones who grieve and strengthen support systems for the mental and physical well-being of veterans and their families. Bring peace among nations that war and conflict around the world might cease. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We commend these and all our prayers to you, O God, trusting that you are always with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now, may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. We continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Thank you.
risen one, you have gathered us around your table of grace, along with these gifts we bring. Come among us again, breathe your life into us, and enlighten us with this meal, that we may live as your risen body in the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, the table of grace and receive the gift of new life, where all are always welcome. This is the body of Christ broken for you. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Living one, in this feast you have made yourself known to us. Send us now to tell of your wonders, sing of your glory, and proclaim your risen life to the wounded and a weary world. Amen.
Amen. Which you already knew, which caused someone to not show. I'm going to stop giving that announcement. Anyway, also, you still have to show up this summer, but we're not going to have catechism this summer. So we'll pick back up in the fall. Stay tuned. But you still have to show up. Anyway, let's see. Office is closed tomorrow for Memorial Day. Next Saturday, we have our Community Connections Expo at Galleon Middle School. That is from 1 to 4, I believe. Is that the correct time? So feel free to come and check it out, or if you are set to volunteer for that, please show up at 12 as a volunteer. So let's see. Any other announcements this morning?
Just a reminder, council, we're meeting after the service today.
Yeah, that's right. If you are if you got an email from me, you are asked to stay after class. Anyway, any other announcements this morning? I know it's not class, it was a joke. Seeing and hearing none, please stand for a blessing. You are being blessed to go out there into the world through a door, not a window, through a door. So receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor, give you peace. Mighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Go, tell this good news.
We will.